It's lovely to be with you. It's great to see lots of familiar faces. As Jonty said, I was here. 799, page 799, thank you. I was here, just over a year ago I finished up. It's also lovely to see lots of unfamiliar faces because the Lord's word is at work, isn't it? Let me pray as we come to God's words, and then I'll read. Our Father, as we come to your word this afternoon, we pray that you would speak to us. Thank you that your word is living and active. And we pray that you would speak to us. Please don't let us be dead. Please don't let us be mute. Please help us to hear what you're saying to us. We pray that you would bring the dead to life this afternoon by the power of your word. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 1. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will each turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah, and while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on a scroll. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, I'm restricted. I'm not allowed to go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. And perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord and will each turn from their wicked ways. For the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. Baruch, son of Neriah, did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do. At the Lord's temple, he read the words of the Lord from the scroll. In the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, a time of fasting before the Lord was proclaimed for all the people in Jerusalem and those who had come from the towns of Judah. From the room of Gemariah, son of Shaphan, the secretary, which was in the upper courtyard at the entrance of the new gate of the temple, Baruch read to all the people at the Lord's temple the words of Jeremiah from the scroll. When Micaiah, son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll, he went down to the secretary's room in the royal palace, where all the officials were sitting. Elishama the secretary, Deliah, son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, son of Akbor, Gemariah, son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, son of Hananiah, and all the other officials. After Micaiah told them everything he had heard Baruch read to the people from the scroll, all the officials sent Jehudi, son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, to say to Baruch, bring the scroll from which you have read to the people and come. So Baruch, son of Neriah, went to them with a scroll in his hand. They said to him, sit down, please, and read it to us. So Baruch read it to them. When they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear and said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. Then they asked Baruch, tell us, how did you come to write all this? Did Jeremiah dictate it? Yes, Baruch replied. He dictated all these words to me, and I wrote them in ink on the scroll. Then the officials said to Baruch, you and Jeremiah go and hide. Don't let anyone know where you are. After they put the scroll in the room of Elishama the secretary, they went to the king in the courtyard and reported everything to him. The king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and Jehudi brought it from the room of Elishama the secretary and read it to the king and all the officials standing beside him. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the firepot in front of him. Whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the firepot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. Even though Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. Instead, the king commanded Jeremiel, a son of the king, Sariah, son of Azriel, and Shelemiah, son of Abdiel, to arrest Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord had hidden them. After the king burned the scroll containing the words that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. Also tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is what the Lord says. You burned that scroll and said, why did you write on it that the king of Babylon would certainly come and destroy this land and wipe from it both man and beast? Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He will have no one to sit on the throne of David. His body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat by day and the frost by night. I will punish him and his children and his attendants for their wickedness. I will bring on them and those living in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I pronounced against them, because they have not listened. So Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to the scribe Baruch, son of Neriah, and as Jeremiah dictated, Baruch wrote on it all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And many similar words were added to them. On the 10th of August 2016, Thomas Croker was driving his lorry on the A34 in Berkshire. He was distracted. He was using his mobile phone, making song selections. He didn't notice until it was too late to stop that the traffic in front of him had come to a standstill. Tracy Houghton and three of her children, Ethan, who was 13, and Joshua and Amy, who were 11, were killed when their car was pushed into the lorry in front as Mr. Croker's lorry collided with the line of traffic. In court, a month later, it was clear that Mr. Croker knew the law about mobile phone use while driving. He knew the risks. I didn't think it would happen to me, he said. I didn't think it would happen to me. And the risk of complacency is very real, isn't it? I guess we all know the rules about mobile phone use while driving. I guess that hasn't stopped all of us. But I guess we don't think it will happen to us. And the risk of complacency with the word of the Lord is very real. Jeremiah chapter 36 arrives like a warning sign, saying, look, don't use your mobile phone while driving. There is a cliff edge ahead. The road is winding. It's like a warning sign with serious consequences attached. But the risk of complacency for us is real, isn't it? And because actually we know, if we're Christians here today, we know that God is forgiving and gracious. And we like the idea that the world has that Jesus is gentle and meek and mild. And I guess it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that, well, sin doesn't matter that much anymore. To think that actually not all of the Bible is really speaking to me. It's not all relevant. I don't need all the words anymore. It's okay to skip some bits. It's okay to skip Jeremiah, maybe. Great big book in the middle. But complacency leads to compromise, and it leads to consequences. And to those at risk of complacency, in Jeremiah chapter 36, the word of the Lord comes from verse 3. Perhaps, when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will turn from their wicked ways. Perhaps. The word of the Lord obeyed, Jeremiah tells us this afternoon, the word of the Lord obeyed offers mercy. It's a good word. It's a kind word. But the word of the Lord ignored, the word of the Lord ignored means disaster. It means disaster. To the Christians in the room this afternoon, my aim this afternoon, please hear me right. My aim this afternoon is not to shake your assurance of your salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. We are certain, aren't we, of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from his love. The Bible tells us that. The sin that I guess we're talking about this afternoon, it's not the everyday sin that you commit and you're sorry for and you repent of and you struggle with and you confess and you go again. But don't take that mercy for granted. And don't presume on God's mercy. Because that way lies the studied, contemptuous, faithless disregarding of God's goodness, so casual with the good that we've received that we find ourselves outside it. The word of the Lord obeyed offers mercy. The word of the Lord ignored means disaster. Those are our 2 points this afternoon. The word of the Lord obeyed offers mercy. Firstly, look down with me at chapter 36, verse 1. You're going to want to keep your Bibles open because it's a long passage, isn't it? Chapter 36, verse 1. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. And this is a waymarker in Jeremiah's book. He comes back to this year on a number of occasions. It's a significant moment. The fourth year of King Jehoiakim. Do we have any historians of the ancient Near East in the room who knows what happened then? So this is 605 BC. Anybody know what happened in 605 BC that makes it a big deal? That's okay. It's the Battle of Carchemish. Little history lesson for you this afternoon. Sorry for the grainy map. Carchemish to the north of Jerusalem, 605 BC. This is a battle between Babylon and Egypt. And Egypt and, I guess, the remnants of the Assyrian Empire. And for the last however long, Assyria have been the global superpower. There's never been one before, and Assyria are the big dog. But 605 BC, Babylon defeat Egypt and Assyria. There is a new superpower on the block. Babylon are coming, okay? So from the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the doomsday clock is ticking. The final countdown is on. Babylon are on the way. This is the point of no return, I guess. The reader, Jehoiakim, may not know yet, but the reader does. The reader knows that this is an important moment. This is a hinge of history. And the word of the Lord comes in this fourth year. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take a scroll, write on it all the words I've spoken to you. Perhaps when they hear, perhaps they will turn. And because God wants to show mercy. It's an easy thing to overlook in a book like Jeremiah that feels like it's all disaster. The Lord wants to show mercy. This is good news. And he wants everybody to hear it. So he tells Baruch, look, go to the temple. Go on a day that everybody's there. Go on a day that all the people of Judah come from their towns, verse 6. Read it out loud so that everyone can hear. You know, stick it on social media. Put it on the headlines of all the papers. Make it so that no one can miss this. I want people to hear. Give them another chance. But this is how bad it's got. Okay, this is how bad the situation is in Judah right now. Jeremiah, verse 5, Jeremiah told Baruch, I'm restricted. I'm not allowed to go to the Lord's temple. The prophet of the Lord, who speaks the word of the Lord, can't go to the house of the Lord. And because nobody wants to hear the word of the Lord. This is how bad the situation is. But the Lord wants to show mercy. And Jeremiah dictates to Baruch all the words. Baruch does it. He writes it down, verse 8. He writes all the words from the scroll. And he doesn't go until the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Because I guess it took a lot of writing. Jeremiah is a long book. Probably this scroll is a summary of almost everything from Jeremiah 1 to 35. And this is a long list of sins that Judah's about to be confronted with. This is a long list of issues that we've got to address and work through. He writes down all the words. Verse 2, take a scroll, write on it all the words I've spoken to you. Did you notice as we read that passage just how many times Jeremiah says all the words? That phrase, all the words, comes in verse 2 and verse 4 and verse 11, verse 13, verse 16, verse 18, verse 20, verse 24, verse 28. Verse 32. All the words. All the words. All the words. Because you don't get to take scissors to the Bible. You don't get to pick and choose the bits you like, the bits that you're going to listen to. This is the Lord speaking. And you need to hear all the words. There is a serious danger. Verse 7. The anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. And I guess what we get from this, firstly, is that hell is not a wrong motivation for turning to Jesus. I guess we don't like the message of judgment. We don't like the message of hell, do we? Jesus talked about hell quite a lot, as it turns out. And I don't want to suggest hell is not the full gospel. You're going to need some good news too. But actually, a gospel that doesn't call for repentance is no gospel at all. And people who turn to God, who turn to Jesus because of fear of judgment, that's not a wrong reason to do so. Baruch takes the scroll and he reads it in the temple. It takes a lot of writing, and the initial response is positive, isn't it? Surprise? I think I was surprised. The initial response is positive. Verse 11, when Micaiah, son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll, he went down to the secretary's room in the royal palace where all the officials were sitting. I'm not going to read all their names again, although it's important, and we will come back to that. After Micaiah told them everything he'd heard, verse 13, they sent Jehudi to get him, bring the scroll, we want to hear it, come. And they said to him, sit down, please, verse 15, sit down, please, and read it. We need to hear. We want to hear. And verse 16, they hear all the words, and they look at each other in fear. And fear is the right response. When people fear in the Bible in response to the word of the Lord, that is the right response, because that is a sign of faith. That's a sign they're taking it seriously. That's a sign they know who's speaking to them. Do you feel fear when the word of the Lord is speaking to you? I'm not sure if I do. But fear is the right response. They know this is a true word. They say, who wrote this? Did Jeremiah dictate it? Yes, he did. They know it's the word of the Lord. And there's encouragement for us here that in a generation that has banned the prophet of the Lord from the temple of the Lord, in a generation that's apostate, that has gone to the dogs, actually there are faithful little people among them. There are faithful little people among them. You think that your obedience doesn't matter, that it's so small scale that nobody will notice? The Lord says, I notice. I notice the obedient little people. Shaphan, if this was a series and you were working through Jeremiah in sequence, you'd have noticed Shaphan already. Shaphan, the secretary, is a faithful man. He's on Jeremiah's side. He's on the side of the word of the Lord. So are his sons. His son Ahikam, who saves Jeremiah from a mob in chapter 26. His son Elasa, who delivers a letter from Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon in chapter 29. His son Gemariah and grandson Micaiah here. His son or grandson, I can't remember, Gedaliah, who takes Jeremiah home after the exile in chapter 39. They're supporters of the word of the Lord. Your obedience, if you are a small person, a normal person, an everyday person, your obedience matters and it's noticed by the Lord. And the excuse, everyone was doing it and will not cut it. The whole nation is rejecting the word of the Lord, but this family, God notices the faithful family. The excuse that everyone else was doing it won't cut it. And there's an encouragement as well, isn't there, here for parents? You want your children to grow up to know and to love and fear the Lord. The encouragement to you is fear the Lord. Show them how. Set the example, because Shaphan feared the Lord and his children grew up to do the same. It's not a guarantee, it's not a promise, but it's an encouragement. Invest in minis and tinies. If you're not a parent, how are this next generation going to know? And pray for the parents in your church. Be a part of it. The church is only ever like one generation from extinction, isn't it? If the next generation don't hear it from us, if they don't see the fear of the Lord in us, how will they know? And the officials are afraid. They look at each other in fear, verse 16. And we must report all these words to the king. They're afraid, I guess. They tell Jeremiah and Baruch, go hide. They're afraid in part of the king. They're afraid what's his reaction going to be. But actually, they fear the Lord more because they still go tell him. And there may be that, you know, fear stops you from sharing the gospel with people. It might be that you've never got involved in Webber Street or English Conversation Cafe because you're afraid of sharing the gospel with people. And the encouragement for us this afternoon is fear the Lord more. Yeah, it's scary. It's okay to be scared. But fear the Lord more. Tell them whether they will listen or fail to listen. And because the word of the Lord obeyed offers mercy. It's good news. But our second point this afternoon, the word of the Lord ignored means disaster. The word of the Lord ignored means disaster. Look down with me at verse 22. Or in fact, verse 20. After they put the scroll in the room of Elishama, the secretary, they went to the king in the courtyard and reported everything to him. The king sent Jehudi to get the scroll. And Jehudi brought it from the room of Elishama, the secretary, and read it to the king and all the officials standing beside him. It was the ninth month. And the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. I can vividly remember an incident when I was in year seven at school. I went to an all-boys school, and we, whatever class it was, we had a visit from the Gideons. Do people know who the Gideons are? If you've ever stayed in a hotel, and there's a Bible in that hotel room, it was put there by the Gideons. So the Gideons is like a charity. They give out Bibles. This is what they do. It's great, you know, great work. And they came to our school, and they gave us all a Bible. I've still got mine. Look, there we go. Little red New Testament and Psalms. And they gave us each a Bible. And I guess they spoke for 5 minutes or something about what it was, and they left. And then afterwards, I don't know what our teacher was doing. But, you know, teenage boys starting to lark around, getting bored. And they start to, lots of them, start to deface these Bibles they've been given. They scribble on them. They rip out pages. They rip out whole chunks. Cover came off. Bible thrown out the window. It's quite an upsetting thing to watch, actually. And I guess, you know, I can't remember if the Gideons, these two guys, had given a Bible talk, if they'd said anything about, you know, what this is the word of God. And so I guess there's an element of, well, I don't know that they were rejecting something they'd heard. They'd just be stupid, but it's the Bible. But this is worse, isn't it? And this is worse. I vividly remember that incident in year seven, but I also vividly remember this incident in Jeremiah chapter 36. Reading through the whole of Jeremiah, which is long, which I've done several times in the last year, and this is the chapter that stands out to me. It's seared on my memory. Because what's the king going to do when he hears the word of the Lord? Verse 23, whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. And he takes his scissors. Cuts off a piece as Jehudi's reading. Drops it in the fire pot. If you're worried about the floor, there is a fire pot there. And you can imagine the faces on the officials, can't you? What are you doing? And Jehudi, I'm sorry if I offended. Like, should I stop? Should I stop reading? And the king says, no. Go on, read some more. And Jehudi reads some more. A few sentences later. And the king stops and cuts it off with his knife. Drops it in the fire pot until the whole scroll is burned. Those teenage boys, what they did, it was stupid. You know, it was horrible. But this is worse, isn't it? He's not angry. The king's not angry. He doesn't hear it and just tear it up and throw it out and say, get out of my sight. He sits and listens to the whole thing. 35 chapters of Jeremiah or something. He listens to the whole thing and then burns it one, two, three lines at a time. This is determined, willful deafness. It's contemptuous, it's cold, it's calculated, it's repeated. Verse 24, the king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear. They should have been afraid. Verse 25, even though Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. They should have listened. They should have been afraid. They should have listened. But he sends people, arrest them, arrest Baruch, arrest Jeremiah, but the Lord had hidden them. And I guess he thinks that's it. I guess Jehoiakim thinks that's it. You know, well, I've burned the scroll. Ignore that now. Forget about that incident. I think they've silenced the word of the Lord. Verse 27, I love this verse. After the king burned the scroll containing the words that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After the king burned the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After being burned. We see here, don't we, the folly of trying to silence the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is inexorable. It's inevitable. It's indestructible. It's not going to be denied. It's not going to be deterred. And the word of the Lord will do the burning. Jehoiakim, you're a fool. You're playing some unending game of whack-a-mole that ends with you getting whacked. Jehoiakim, you think you've burned the word of the Lord. But it's the word of the Lord that's going to do the burning. It only gets worse. It only gets worse. Because look at this, verse 29. After Jeremiah has taken another scroll and written on it all the words, verse 29, tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is what the Lord says. You burned that scroll and said, why did you write on it that the king of Babylon would certainly come and destroy this land and wipe from it both man and beast? Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He will have no one to sit on the throne of David. His body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat by day and the frost by night. I will punish him and his children and his attendants for their wickedness. I will bring on them and on those living in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I pronounced against them because they have not listened. Because this king, King Jehoiakim, he sits in his chamber. He thinks he's safe. He thinks he's untouchable. He thinks that nothing he does or says has any consequences. He is so complacent. He thinks that the word of the Lord is an annoying anachronism, that it's out of date, that it's out of place, that he doesn't need to hear all the words that the Lord has got to say to him anymore. And he doesn't realize that this chamber in which he feels so safe and so powerful, this is a dream world that he's living in. And it's crumbling all around him. It's about to turn into a nightmare because it's 605 BC. It's the hinge of history. The doomsday clock is ticking. The final countdown is on. Babylon are on the way. Jehoiakim, wake up. And if it sounds stupid, you know, it's easy. Read it here, don't we? And it's like, well, it's obvious, Jehoiakim. Come on. This is still the way that many of us live. And so the Church of England bishops, who think that they can rewrite what God's word has got to say about sexuality and gender, are bringing disaster upon themselves and upon people who follow them, hundreds of people, thousands of people who they have a duty of care for. And the Chinese Communist Party, who think that they can change what it says in the Bible to suit their political message, are bringing disaster on themselves. Jehoiakim pioneered Bible burning, and lots of people down the centuries since have followed his lead, and it's just a shame, isn't it, that they didn't finish the story first. Because this is disobedience that dooms the nation, the whole nation of Judah, because this king is such a fool. And it's entirely unnecessary. I want to show you this parallel from 2 Kings chapter 22. Don't turn to 2 Kings 22 because it's a whole nother long story. But this parallel, I think, is really striking and deliberate. In our story today, in Jeremiah chapter 36, Jeremiah writes the word of the Lord on a scroll. In 2 Kings chapter 22, it might be too small for you to read, Hilkiah finds the book of the law in the temple. It's been lost. They lost. It's very much like Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah's day, the prophet can't go to the temple. That's how bad it's got. In 2 Kings 22, it's got really bad because they've lost the first 5 books of the Bible. Nobody knows that they're there. Hilkiah finds the book of the law. Interestingly for you, Jeremiah's father's name is Hilkiah. And the scholars don't think that this is Jeremiah's father, but the name is not a coincidence. Hilkiah finds the book of the law. Shaphan, we've met him. We've met him already in Jeremiah 36. Shaphan, in 2 Kings 22, the secretary, reads this book of the law to the king. His sons, in Jeremiah 36, his sons and grandson, Gedaliah and Micaiah, they read this word to the king. In 2 Kings 22, King Josiah tears his clothes in response to this word, and he inquires of the Lord. In Jeremiah 36, King Jehoiakim, King Josiah's son, does not tear his clothes. It's not that he just doesn't tear his clothes. Jeremiah makes a point of telling us he did not tear his clothes. Verse 24, and he ignores the word of the Lord. And what's the response? Well, in 2 Kings 22, the Lord says that disaster is delayed and King Josiah will be spared for his righteous response to the word of the Lord. In Jeremiah 36, in response to Jehoiakim, the Lord says disaster is certainly coming and Jehoiakim will be judged. This is judgment that's unnecessary. It didn't have to happen. This other generation, this generation of righteous fathers, showed us the way. And it gets worse. Verse 32, Jeremiah took another scroll and he gave it to the scribe Baruch, son of Neriah. And as Jeremiah dictated, Baruch wrote on it all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And many similar words were added to them. It gets worse. And Jeremiah doesn't keep us in suspense because chapter 37, verse 1, Zedekiah, son of Josiah, was made king of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He reigned in the place of Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim. Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, not Jehoiakim's son. His line is gone. His line is done. No more. The word of the Lord doesn't take long to be fulfilled. We need to feel the fear this afternoon of not listening to the word of the Lord. We need to feel the fear of not listening to the word of the Lord. Because the message to them then, the message to Jehoiakim, the message to the exiles in Judah a generation later, it's the same message for us today. Don't be complacent. Don't be complacent thinking that the world is always going to go on the same way that it always has. Don't go on thinking that actually exile's okay. This world is not as bad as some people make out for it to be. God can't be that bothered about sin after all. Jesus will forgive. That's what it does. That's what he does. It won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. Don't be complacent. The disaster has not yet come because the Lord is merciful and he wants all to come to repentance. These words are from Romans. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Yes, yes, the Lord Jesus forgives. Yes, he's forgiving and gracious. He forgives the repentant, not the complacent. Mature Christians, brothers and sisters at Globe Church, there are lots of you here who've been Christians for ages and who've heard all this before. Is that what you think? Do you come to church thinking, I've heard all this before? Do you come just slightly complacent sometimes? Do you come excited to hear the word of the Lord? This is what we're gathering to do. We're going to hear the word of the Lord together. I guess it's hard for you to sin in ignorance now. You've heard it all before. But the Lord is speaking this afternoon. Are you going to hear it? There will be some of us here this afternoon who would not say that we were Christians. And well, this afternoon you've heard something of the word of the Lord. You've heard something of the gospel, that Jesus Christ offers mercy. He offers forgiveness to the repentant. You need to turn and trust him. And you this afternoon, if you have not put your faith in Jesus, you're in a really dangerous place. You're in a really dangerous place because hearing the word of the Lord is not a neutral thing. The word of the Lord obeyed offers mercy, hallelujah. But the word of the Lord ignored, it means disaster. We've seen the folly this afternoon, haven't we, of sticking your head in the sand. King Jehoiakim sticks his head in the sand. But the word of the Lord does what it says, whether we like it or not. The Lord always has the last word. So as we close, I'd like to encourage you, I want to remind you and that salvation is a gift from God, that nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. We are dependent on his mercy. I don't want you to go home and make a star chart so that you can check off the good you've done this week. In Jesus, we have a king entirely unlike King Jehoiakim. A king who was perfectly obedient to his father. A king who bore our disaster in our place. You don't need to live in fear. If you're a Christian this afternoon, you don't need to live in fear of accidentally breaking some obscure rule and finding yourself outside of the love of God. That is not how it works. But don't take for granted. Don't presume. And don't get complacent with the love of God, so studied and contemptuous and faithless, and disregarding the goodness of God. So good, disregarded, that we find ourselves outside of it. Because ignoring the word of the Lord means disaster. But obeying the word of the Lord, waiting faithfully for the coming of his merciful promised king, it means mercy for us. Let me pray as we finish. Our Father, we're reminded this afternoon that hearing your word is a serious thing. And Father, I pray that we wouldn't leave this room thinking that we can stick our heads in the sand. And thinking that we don't need to respond, we don't need to listen, we don't need to obey, to repent. So, Father, would you speak to us and tell us, draw us, tell us what you would have from us. Father, we thank you for the absolutely firm conviction we can have, the confidence we can have in the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for all our sins, forgiveness of our sins, certainty of eternal life with you. Father, I pray that you would keep everyone in this room for the day of his return. I pray that none of us would get complacent with your word. I pray that we would treasure it, that we would want to hear it, that we would gather to hear it with excitement, with soft hearts, with hearts that are ready to repent and obey. Please do this work in us by your Spirit, our merciful, gracious Father. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen.